Good morning, everyone. Let's all meet together at YMCA and have a group hug. No? Yeah, I am really ready for that. This is for the birds. Even the birds are not enjoying it, right? I tell you, from now on, I will never have caged animals of any sort. Yeah? All the animals needs to be free, even tigers and lions. Nothing would be, and I'm going to even let all the fishes free. It's just wrong. Yeah? So it's totally wrong. But anyway, back to my sermon. My topic is trustworthy. Have you ever had a person that comes to you and say, trust me? And what's your first reaction? Not really. Yeah. I love to go, when I go back to U.S., I love to go to Best Buy. And I don't usually buy a lot, but I just love looking at all the tools and all the computer stuff. And as soon as the guy comes and says, trust me, I don't trust him. Yeah. Because trust takes a personal knowledge of a person. Trustworthiness is, you know, a person can be trusted as an honest and trustworthy person, right? Now, we all know that our spouses are real trustworthy. I know every morning I'll get my coffee. I mean, I know it sounds like a simple thing, but I know as long as Lori is around, I don't have to worry about coffee. And it's just a simple thing, but it's just that you know by practice, you know by lifestyle that this person, when he or she says something, you can trust them. He is an honest person, trustworthy person. But when you meet a stranger, like a salesperson or even internet guys that say, trust me, you won't have any problem with our internet service, you say, I'll wait and see. Yeah? So the book of Proverbs tells us who can we honestly trust and who we cannot trust. And you can spot them. And so in today's list, which, by the way, Matt put up, and that talks about all the Bible verses that I would look at, I like having visuals. And one of my favorite visual is Aladdin standing on a magic carpet several stories above the floor and reaching out his hand to Jasmine and saying, do you trust me? Right? That takes a lot of trust. Now, I know it's a movie, but imagine somebody just comes up on the 14th floor. We're on the 15th floor and says, hey, come on up. I'll walk you on a carpet. Would be trust. Yeah? But what's so neat about the people that the proverb writers tell us to trust are people who again and again and again proven their trustworthiness. Again and again and again. Okay? So the very first person that we can really trust is God. And these are a few verses in Proverbs that talk about God and how he is so trustworthy. He's a shield, chapter 2, verse 7 says, he's a shield to those who walk whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. 14:26 says, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children, it will be a refuge. 16:20 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And it gives the picture of being in the Middle East, out in the desert, with so many enemies all around you. We can't really picture this. And at this moment, I really don't want to talk about a fortified tower because I'm stuck in one. But in reality, imagine you are around enemies and the only way you can hide is run into a tower that's guarded by mighty God. And that's who we really have. And I'm reminded of so many stories from the life of like David, who's being chased around by his own friend's dad, Saul. And he is in the wilderness. He could be the king. All he needs to do is take care of Saul's life. But yet he only trusted God, took a shelter in God, even when things were not favorable, right? So our first person that we need to trust, and he had proven again and again and again and again. Lori and I were just talking about this. We lived in the East Coast of Singapore. We loved it. And then all of a sudden, Lori got a job in the West and we moved to the West and we picked this place, which is a HDB building. But the thing that drew us was from the balcony of our house, we can see a garden, a Chinese garden. And so when we bought that, we liked it, but it really didn't have an impact till the lockdown came. Every morning, we are so grateful we can look outside and see some green. Lori and I said we would have choked each other if we were looking at somebody's rear window. Yeah, and we have lived in houses like this. So God has a way of protecting people, knowing when to keep them out of trouble, when to kind of cut short their paths so that they don't go the wrong ways. And he always remains a faithful shield, a tower that we can trust on, right? So the first person we can trust always, without doubt, is our Lord God. And that's why we read Psalm 115. Please read that again. It's just a beautiful verse. And I said Psalm NIV version only because I like what they do in verses 9, 10, and 11. And other translations kind of do the same, but I love the alliteration there, or that the music note up there. All you Israels, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. All who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Now, I don't know if you notice the differences. First is the Israel, the people that the writer wrote the Psalms for. And then he talks about house of Aaron, who are the priests. But he doesn't stop with the Israel and the house of the priest. He goes on to talk about any one of us who fear the Lord God. God is our help. God is our shield. Yeah, and that's why I love that psalm. If possible, memorize those three verses. They're really easy to memorize, right? All you Israel, trust in the Lord. He is your help. He is your shield. All house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help. He is their shield. All who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and he is their shield. Okay? So there's a second group of people that you can trust. This is words of the wise people. They're also trustworthy. Now, we can only know a person is wise by observing him or her for a very long period of time. Right? They usually don't say a whole lot, but what they say is really something you need to hold on to. They're usually very valuable things. So in Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, the writer said, "My child, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life and bring you peace and prosperity." Okay, this is the writer saying, and there's a concept about holding to something wise. And when you hear it, that when you watch over it, take, for example, drinking and driving, right? We've been told by so many people, when you drink too much and you drive, you not only hurt yourself, but you can also hurt other people. That's a words of wisdom. And when you follow that, chances are you're not going to be in an accident and lose your life ahead of time. Right? It prolongs your life. It brings peace and prosperity around you. So the second group is the words of wise people. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life." turning a person from the snares of death. It gives people life to listen to people of wise. Again, when somebody comes and says to you, I'm a wise person, run away from that person. Because usually wise people do not go around trumpeting their wisdom, but you can watch them, you can see their actions, and you know there is wisdom in it, there is life in it, there's found enough life in it, and that you can follow. And when you follow, you have life, you have peace, and you have prosperity. The third group is wisdom itself. And I'm not going to expand a lot more because all of Proverbs talks about wisdom, right? And so in 4:6, it says, do not forsake wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her. She will watch over you. Yeah. There are two Proverbs back to back. There are funny Proverbs because the first one says, don't talk to a fool in his folly. And the next one says, talk to a fool in his folly. And so scholars find this as oxymoron or contradiction in the Bible. Why does one proverb says talk to a fool in his folly and another one says don't talk to a fool in his folly? But I want to illustrate this with one thing that happened in my life. One day I was going to school and about six little boys were sitting on one mango branch and jumping up and down. This is in India, right? Now, I grew up in India and I know something about mango branches. They are not the strongest, right? So I said to those guys, hey guys, this branch isn't gonna hold you. Now that's talking to a fool because I'm giving him a warning, right? And they said, Uncle Andrew, no, this is a strong branch and we are little bitty guys. And I hadn't even taken 10 steps and I hear this big crash. All six are on the ground. And I've turned around and I wanted to say, I told you, but I thought, no, don't talk to a fool in his folly, right? Hopefully they learned the lesson. They won't try that again. Yeah. The same way there are wisdom. Proverbs is full of wisdom. This is one reason all the pastors and I picked to talk on Proverbs, because we all need wisdom. And at that time, we didn't know we would be all locked in because of COVID, and we really needed to read Proverbs again and again and again. Yeah, and it really has helped me, who's not doing so well and shut in, as you can all tell by now. Yeah, so first, the person to trust is God. Second, wise people. And third is wisdom itself. And the fourth is an honest messenger or an honest servant. I love the picture the proverb writers give. In 25:13, it says, like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time, which is a hot time, is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. Now, I do want to talk about this a little bit because I used to play with youth groups. I used to work with youth group, let me say it that way, where we played this game where you tell a secret to the guy in the front, guy or girl in the front, and he or she would pass it to the next one, pass it to the next one, pass it to the next one, pass it to the next one. I'm sure you have played that game, right? And if you remember what happens by the end of the story is what you said and what they heard or what they retell you are so different, right? Because people have a tendency to add heads and tails to story. Yeah? And this is where an honest messenger doesn't add a word to the message or delete a word from the message. Right? Now we can see this example in Genesis where God said, eat all the fruit except the one from the middle of the tree. Right? Eat all the fruit except the one. But by the time it gets to Eve, it is don't look at it, don't touch it, don't eat it, right? At the same time, it lost one. Eat from all the other tree, right? So a good messenger doesn't add 3 extra elements and delete one. A good messenger is one who keeps the message unadulterated and passes it on to the recipient. He is like a snow-cooled drink at a harvest time. Or the verse 25:25 says, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Undistorted message. Yeah, and that is a challenge to all of us, that what we say is exactly accurate, because we would soon find out who we cannot trust is a gossiper, right? So the first person to trust always is God, and the second person to trust is wise people, or people who have wisdom and have shown it in their lives. The third is wisdom itself, which is like Proverbs and Psalms, etc. And then fourth is an honest messenger, an honest servant. That brings me to who we cannot trust. Yeah, and the first one we all know, an immoral person. Proverbs 2:17 has this beautiful description, or horrible description. He has left the partner of his or her youth and ignored the covenant he or she made before God. This person made a covenant before God with his spouse, but at the same time doesn't follow it, doesn't abide by it. It's not committed to the covenant. It's not faithful to the spouse. Such a person is not trustworthy. Okay, so that's the first person who is not trustworthy, is an immoral spouse. The second one is a wicked person. And I want to describe the characteristics of Proverbs talks about before I define what a wicked person is. It says in 4:14, do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the ways of the evildoers, for they cannot rest until they do evil to someone else. There are unreliable friends, and they soon come to ruin, says 18:24. In 21:10, it says, a wicked crave evil, and their neighbors get no mercy from them. And then in 24:1-2, it says that, do not envy the wicked, do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. That's the definition of a wicked person. There's several of them. Let me just mention a few of them. They're waiting to do evil to other people. That's all they think about. They want to ruin other people's life. They show no mercy to other people. And they plot violence and trouble against other people. That's an evil person. That's the wicked person. And that person is untrustworthy, right? Now, this is important in a practical life. When you see a person who plans to harm someone else, you need to know that person is a wicked person. That's characteristic of that person, opposite to a person who wants to do something good for another person. Now, we don't usually think of it in these terms, but when somebody comes and says, this is just a silly one, but if they come and say, let's go and put toilet paper all over his car, right? Now, that's a thing kids do for fun, right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but you can hear conversation like that where you say, okay, maybe should I join this person or not? He's going to cause trouble to someone else, and I should not be part of that person. So that second untrustworthy person is a wicked person. And the third one is a lazy person. This is pretty personal to some people at this moment, because Lori and I are workaholics, and I think we are killing ourselves during this COVID, and that's why I want to get out so that I can actually go and enjoy and rest, because we both are working like 12 to 14 hours a day because there's nothing else to do, right? But my students repeatedly tell me one thing that the COVID shut-in had done for them is they have become lazy. They don't want to do anything except just watch television and sleep. I have a 2:30 class. Many of my students wake up at 2:20 and come to my 2:30 class. One student even was laying in bed the whole time the class was on with the camera on. Now, I'm not talking about 2:30 in the morning. I'm talking about 2:30 in the afternoon. Yeah? The Proverbs tell us, don't trust them. Lazy hands make for poverty, 10:4 says. He who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son or daughter. A sluggard's appetite is never filled because he can never get up to go to work. Or as sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look and find nothing to eat. I don't think any one of us at CIC is guilty of being lazy. I'm afraid we are all workaholics. But yet, when you do have people who are lazy around you, they are not trustworthy people. Yeah, and sometimes it is, I have a friend, I won't mention his name just in case he would watch this video. I don't want to embarrass him. He would say every morning when I was in college, he would say, I have 14 things to do. And he would list one by one all 14 things to do. And he would do that next day also. I have 14 things to do. And he would list all of them again, right? Now, his name is not Andrew, but I'll call him Andrew. I would say, Andrew, just do one today. So tomorrow you would only have 13 to do. But he would never get it done. And the next day he would say again, I have 14 things to do. Yeah. So if you are stuck in a rut, do just one. Yeah. A lazy persons are usually untrustworthy too. The next one is a sad one, is a gossiper. Proverbs 11:13 says, a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Opposite to that, the untrustworthy spreads gossip and betrays confidence. A gossiper separates close friends. A gossiper betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. That includes all the preachers. We talk way too much. But that's not what it means. It means avoid people who cannot keep secrets. Yeah, they would say, I have something that I cannot tell you. And then they tell you the whole information. I was in a Skype meeting just this week with a person like that. Avoid people like that because they separate. VeggieTales. There's a show called VeggieTales that has a cool video about a gossip, a little plant that sprouts. Do you remember the name? Rumor Weed. So when the church is over, Google and find it. Yeah? Rumor Weed grows and grows and grows and grows. Yeah? And the same way when we say gossip, we really are hurting, separating close friends, and we ourselves are being untrustworthy people. And finally, hot-tempered person. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Yeah? Hot-tempered people. I used to be one. That's what I think the COVID triggered in me, made me again something that I was years ago, and it kind of brought it back again to the surface. Hot-tempered person, I inherited from my grandfather, my father, and I passed it on to my children too. I was very faithful on that. Yeah. Where when you look at an event and instead of stopping and thinking, I heard people say, count 10 before you do something. You just jump and say something, or you do something, and then you regret it. Because once you've said something, you can never take it back again, right? So I have said some stuff recently after the whole COVID thing. So through this guy. So nowadays, after 5, I put this away. Because that's when I lose my cool, after 5. So this one stays in my bedroom, away from me, yeah? Because hot-tempered people are not trustworthy people. Now, we looked at who are trustworthy: God, wise people, wisdom, honest people. And then we looked at who are not trustworthy: immoral, wicked, lazy, gossiper, and hot-tempered person. Now, one thing that will come to us is, oh, I know who these people are, and I need to avoid them. You may have already made a list in your head. Okay, this person I'm going to avoid because he is a gossiper. This person I need to avoid because he is a hot-tempered Andrew. Yeah, you may have a list going. But I want to show you, I want to tell you that there is a Pharisee's method and the Lord Jesus method, okay? Pharisee's method, which is what we kind of see in the book of Proverbs, and that is to avoid such people. And that is a good working principle, and sometimes we need to follow the Pharisee's method, especially if you, let's assume you are with the gossiper and he or she triggers you to do more gossip, it is good to avoid that person. But I think a better method is the Lord Jesus's method, that you change that person because you are a trustworthy person. Remember Zacchaeus' story? The Lord Jesus goes to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus would be a corrupt person of number one degree, right? Because he is a tax collector, and we can think of it like money exchange person. So if you give $10, they're supposed to give you 10 shekels back. But he kept the system so corrupt, you had to give $50 to get 10 shekels back. Now, you need the 10 shekels because that's the money you can use to pay, it's denarii. That's the money you had to use to pay taxes to Rome. So Zacchaeus was a pretty evil fellow. And I think the fact that he was a short person, not like me, I am short, I'm not denying that. But in that culture, he was a midget. So you can imagine that people have insulted him all his life. And so he retaliates it by taxing them left and right. The Lord Jesus comes to him and says, hey, I want to come to your house. And you can imagine the shock that he had. He's saying, you want to come to my house, the evil me? And he says, sure, come to my house. And the Lord has a good meal. And he hasn't said a word. And Zacchaeus says, oh, I'm going to give all the money back. Yeah? Just being with the Lord. And the mere fact the Lord Jesus, an honest, trustworthy person, was around Zacchaeus, changed Zacchaeus' life. Yeah? So there are times we need to follow Pharisees' method, and that is when they are corrupting us and we are joining in, for example, the gossip, we need to avoid such people. But a better method is that we follow the Lord. When we come across an untrustworthy person, we show trust in them, and we show what trustworthiness is to the point that person changes. Yeah? Only one time that I can remember, I stole something big. I was about 12, 13 years old. I loved music and I loved guitars. And so I had an acoustic guitar, and my sister had an acoustic guitar. And I stole her guitar. I stole her guitar and my guitar and went to the guitar shop and got me an electric guitar. Now, what I didn't realize is that my guitar, my parents had bought me, but my sister's guitar belonged to the blind school that my mom was running. So they had an audit in the blind school and they couldn't find the guitar. So they said, where did the guitar go? Where did the guitar go? Well, you can imagine the whole people thinking there's one guy in the campus that plays guitar, and all of a sudden who has no income has an electric guitar. But nobody pointed to me except the cashier. He came to me and said, I know you stole the guitar, but I know you probably traded in the guitar. Can you take me to the shop? So we went back to the shop with my electric guitar, and he talked with the guitar shop guy, and the shop guy now to get the electric guitar back and the two acoustic guitar charges us twice as much. And the accountant paid that money and got both the acoustic guitars back and said, this is between you and me. I want you to go to the office and turn the acoustic guitar back to the blind school, and you keep yours. And someday later, you can buy yourself an electric guitar. That's the last time I remember willfully ever stealing, because that fellow taught me. He didn't accuse me. Well, he did accuse me, but he didn't betray me. He walked with me on that step. He even lost money on that step, but he showed me what trustworthiness is. Yeah. So as we look at who are trustworthy, starting with our Supreme God, who is unbelievably trustworthy, going down to wise people and God's word and honest people and who to avoid. Yes, there are times we need to avoid them, but there are times we need to be so trustworthy and so involved in their lives, like the Lord Jesus, that they learn to become trustworthy people. Yeah, shall we do that? I'll finish with one last verse on faithfulness. This is Proverbs again, 3:3-4. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them in the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and the people. Let love and faithfulness never leave us. Let them be around our necks, in the heart, tablets of our heart, so that we not only win favors and good name, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of people. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we really are grateful. At any circumstances, we can trust you. You do not do anything harm against us. You are our shield. You are our fortress. We can always run to you as we are, as weak as we are, and say, we hate this. We need your help. And you are there. We pray, Father, that we would be such trustworthy people who impact on people around us, so they too become trustworthy people who trust you. Thank you for being our trustworthy God. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.